First reading is from Psalms 133. How good and pleasant is it when brothers live together in unity. It is like the precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, pour down the colour of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon was falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore.
Second reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
As I pray, loving God, give us, we pray, hearing ears, understanding minds, receptive hearts. We might receive your word this morning and put it into action with hearts, hands, and feet for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If I have a theme verse, it's the first verse of Psalm 133 that Doug just read to us. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. When I was a vicar in the parish way back in the 90s, a parishioner introduced to the congregation a very simple song. We could perhaps sing it here at one stage, but it was a song that was used at the end of the sharing of the peace. It was like a prompt, well, let's sing. As we sing this, we go back to our seats rather than carry on wandering around saying hello to everybody and so on. And the words of this song were these. I love this family of God, so closely knitted into one. They've taken me into their hearts, and I'm so glad to be a part of this great family. So maybe one day we could sing it here at 10 o'clock. I know Ruth was playing at the end of the 8 o'clock service this morning, so she has the music available. I love this family of God, so closely knitted into one. They've taken me into their hearts, and I'm so glad to be a part of this great family. I wonder if that's how you feel about belonging here at St. Paul's, whether you're a newcomer or been here for 20, 30, 40 years even, to be part of another family. For some, it's been like our second family for many years, perhaps. Pretty important, because we live in a very unsettled world, don't we? It goes without saying. So many strifes and conflicts going on, both nationally, internationally, and within our own city. I hardly need to mention the names of countries where we know it's most severe at the moment. But so many reminding us that we live in a world where there is this international turmoil that does not seem to go away. Yes, in our own country, our own city, so many problems that people are facing, that life's not easy, it's troubled. Conflict, criticism, deprivation, unrest. Hardly a happy family as a nation, are we, at times. But, and there has to be a but, surely, we as the Church of Jesus Christ here on earth, surely we need to demonstrate something better as God's people, as his church, something positive in our way of living. And for no other reason, of course, that Jesus himself prayed a very important prayer. Prayer for unity amongst his followers. As we read in John's Gospel, chapter 17, Jesus prayed, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you and me are in you. May there also be in us, he says, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. Jesus' very crucial prayer at that time of his earthly ministry. What does he pray for? For greater evangelistic fervour to win people to Jesus? No, he doesn't in this case. Or for spiritual revival right across our land? No. Or maybe for greater concern for the poor and for the marginalised? Not on this occasion, no. Important concerns they are, of course, on his heart, I'm sure. But at this particular point, he highlights this word unity. Unity among his followers. And of course, he set the example. He, the Son, God the Father, he said, we are one. That's the example. This is what we are to follow, that pattern. Pretty high standard to reach, isn't it? A standard of perfection, if you like, is to be our goal. And we know we fall far short of that kind of unity between the Father and the Son. But, of course, any congregation of people together, any congregation of worldwide leaders, if you call them a congregation, there will always be the differences where we see the need for unity, but there are all sorts of differences that sometimes can cause a lot of else of conflict. In the recent decades, I guess we'd say we can be aware of situations of difference like the ordination of women, a Christian's conviction about divorce or about abortion, or the charismatic movement, or more recently, the blessing of gay relationships. Differences of opinion on these quite crucial areas of our life and faith. And having said that, of course, unity at any cost is surely not what God will want of us. Because he also said, as he said one day to the Jews, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So we always need, in love, to seek God's truth. God's truth founded on our scriptures. Nevertheless, yes, we won't agree on everything. So how are we to approach a matter like this? Unity, but with our differences. How do we cope with them in our own family, perhaps? We've probably had to grapple with that from time to time. And perhaps within our church family and our diocesan family. I chose our second reading today to help remind us of some of those good and helpful principles that relate to healthy, good relationships. As we heard in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul was writing to the believers in Ephesus, and he says, among other things, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Some very key words in just those few sentences. Did you notice them? The believers there were surely to be challenged to be worthy of their calling, to be humble, to be gentle, be patient, to show love, to seek peace. And he said, did you notice? Make every effort to maintain this unity through these different means. And of course, we're talking here of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, qualities that the Holy Spirit has called us all to in Galatians, and also the Holy Spirit who helps us to live out those high values. Now, most of us perhaps have been attending a church for a long time, have been faithful believers for a long time, and so what I'm saying is not new to you, I'm sure, not new to me either. But to live them out, that's the challenge every day, isn't it? Every moment of every day. But the more we walk a path like this, the more we're expressing something of the unity that Jesus was praying for. I wonder what issues might be challenging us as a church family here at St. Paul's. You might think about that. What are some of the things that might make us feel sometimes unhappy? We don't like this. Don't like that hymn or that song. Or the message made a decision, I don't go along with that. Well, somebody said something to me afterwards, and it really hurt me. I just disagree, and I wish I hadn't said it. All sorts of things can happen in our lives that can upset us and cause a measure of disunity, which must, of course, sadden our Lord Jesus. But it's surely the way we handle these differences or these hurtful things that matters so much. Those words of Paul again, humility and gentleness and patience and love. And I might add another word, not in our readings today, but from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, where the writer says, consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, encouraging one another. A fellow parishioner once recently thanked me for some words I'd used when I was involved in helping with a service. And I so appreciated it. Just a simple thank you for what you said or how you did it. And I'm sure this sort of thing we can share much more than we probably naturally do. We have to make an effort in this area, encouragement. Maybe something we can share before we go home today. Somebody you could say something to, it would be an encouragement. Maybe just a very small thing to us, but to that person receiving it, it can be so crucial and so helpful. Let's remind ourselves as we end the service. We don't go home and forget, perhaps, but to encourage the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace and the spirit of encouragement. As the psalmist put it so beautifully, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life evermore. So the unity of that kind is the basis, if you like, for moving ahead in God's will and for finding peace and joy together and helping to fulfill God's purposes as to why we are here today, not just for ourselves but for the world out there when we leave this church. As I pretty well said already, this is nothing new, is it? I'm not saying anything new. You've probably heard many a sermon on this sort of area and some of these qualities, the fruit of the Spirit. But can I say, if you or I are aware of any kind of difference or disunity across our church family, whether it's a personal thing or whether it's more general, might we make an effort to do something about it? Not to let it sit there and fester. So easily these things can, can't they? To make an effort to make our peace with somebody or to sort out an issue in some way. This might call for some courage. Not the easiest of things to do. It may well call for humility. But let Christian love prevail. Not for our sake only, that will make a benefit to our own lives, I'm sure, be a benefit, but also and primarily for Christ's sake and for the ultimate benefit of his work amongst us. Let us encourage one another. I'm grateful Vicar Tim chose this particular hymn for our service today, the Servant Song. We're going to sing it later. I'd like to close by reading the verses slowly, or some of the verses anyway, just reminding us of our calling as God's people, both here and out in the world, ways in which we might be obedient to Christ's prayer for our unity as God's family. Maybe as I read, if we think of somebody, whether it's that person here today or somebody in our associations, to whom this might be very relevant. I think of somebody who I can be a servant to or who can be a servant to me. Just think of somebody that would be good to share it with. Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I might have the grace to let you be my servant too. We are pilgrims on a journey and companions on the road. We are here to help each other, walk the mile and bear the load. I will weep when you are weeping. When you laugh, I'll laugh with you. I will share your joy and sorrow to have seen this journey through. And this wonderful last verse, probably the last, when we sing to God in heaven, we shall find such harmony, born of all we've known together, of Christ's love and agony. brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. And so I pray as I close. Dear Lord, please help us in such ways in this, our parish, to be your people, a loving, serving family, living and serving together in unity and all for your sake. Amen. I love this family of God, so closely knitted into one. They've taken me into their hearts, and I'm so glad to be a part of this great family. That is true for me. I hope it's true for you. Thank you.